Welcome students to chapter 3 of managerial economics, which is demand analysis. This is the beginning of the microeconomic oriented approach of managerial economics. We will be focusing in this chapter on understanding consumer behavior. First, we should begin with what in economics demand is. How do the economists look at the word demand? In common layman, we say demand is what I want. Anything that I am screaming about is demand. But in economics, demand is connected with three terms: desire, willingness, ability. Economists say that a potential consumer should possess all these three important characteristics. Only then demand will become effective demand. I repeat, effective demand is demand where desire to possess something is backed by ability to pay and willingness to buy. I call it the DAW factor, DAW, desire, ability, willingness. So if a consumer, imagine, we always take examples. You desire to have a new car, a four-wheeler, any particular brand car. Let's say you desire to have a Santro car, Santro model. You have desire, you have ability, and you are willing. Then you will become a potential consumer for the company, and your demand will be designed as effective demand. But what if any one of this is missing? If there is no ability, I'm talking of people who are absolutely poor. They have desires. Desire is like a wish list. Imagine you get one day to decide what you wish. It will be fulfilled. You will have various things coming into your list. A better house, a bigger house, or having houses in different parts of the country, having your own plane. Whenever you want, you can take off and land whichever country of your choice. Plenty of money, plenty of things. I mean, there is no limit. The list would become enormous, too big. And when you will look at the wish list, you will have to shortlist it. Because from all that you have written in your wish list, everything cannot be achieved. Everything cannot be fulfilled. So what? Desire has to be backed by ability, money. Let me check how much money I have in my wallet. Only then my demand will be supported, my desire will be supported with the purchasing power, ability. Oh, purchasing power. When the word purchasing power comes, it's not just the money in my wallet. When I go to the stores, I look at the MRP, the price of the product. I compare the price of the product with the money in my wallet. And I say, I have less money. So next time, let me postpone it. If it is a comfort and a luxury. So what? The desire backed by ability will not make a potential consumer unless willingness to buy is also added. So demand becomes effective in economics when a consumer has desire, ability, and willingness. We move on further to the next concept. how does a statement of demand is being written in economics? There are three dimensions in every statement of demand. In other words, a statement of demand should reflect three dimensions: market, price, time. Market dimension will give us the answer whose demand, consumers, or is it a capital good meeting the producer's demand? So market dimension actually gives us an idea about the product, the type of product. As you see in this example, Gopal demands 30 liters of milk. Milk is the product. Gopal is demanding it. So that becomes the market dimension. Price. What is the price at which he is demanding milk? 20 rupees per liter. Today, when you go to the market to buy fruits, vegetables, even booking a flat, the rates are per one unit, per dozen, per kg, per liter, per square meter, and so on. So in economics, when we speak about price, we have to be very specific about the unit of measurement and the rate. Time dimension. How long the consumer is going to purchase that product? For how long? Here you can see it's per month. So per month becomes the time dimension. In simple words, when you are going to write any statement of demand, if either of these are missing, the quantity, the product, the price, and the time, then such statements are considered as incomplete. So, to make a complete statement of demand, we have to see that it reflects the quantity, time, and price. You can very well start writing down on your own certain statements, meaningful statements of demand in your own words, keeping into mind that these statements reflect the price, the time, and the quantity, which focuses on whose demand, that is the market dimension. I demand so many calls per day at the rate of rupees, this much paise per call, becomes your statement, a meaningful statement of demand in economics. Now, we will be moving to this next concept. How does a consumer's demand gets influenced? Why is it that a day you decide to buy lots of things and you end up buying nothing? And at other times, you have no mood of shopping and you land up spending spending so much money on so many products. Why? Who controls our consumer's mind? Advertisement? Neighbors? Family members? The mind? The heart? What? What controls a consumer behavior? Millions of consumers on a holiday are moving around in the shopping malls and the stores, purchasing, bargaining, not buying, upset, happy. You can see all these different reactions of consumer behavior in the market. Let us bring this all down in the form of determinants of demand. What actually determines the demand? It's very important for the business firms to understand these factors so that there are some factors which you can manipulate. In fact, you can increase those factors because you know they determine demand. So when these factors are enhanced or they are pushed a little, somewhere demand will get pushed in the positive manner. So let's understand it one at a time. First, price of the commodity. Price and commodity. For the sake of simplicity, we have taken the commodity as X. You can use any example for X. Let's say people are eating more of brown bread. Price of brown bread in Mumbai, how is it going to affect the demand? As per this determinant, if the prices of brown bread starts rising, fewer people will eat brown bread. Or instead of eating every day, people will cut down the consumption of brown bread to few days. Either fewer people buying bread or existing customers cutting down on the consumption of bread from 7 days a week to 3 or 4 days will result in an inverse relation. It means the market demand for bread will contract. It will become less. So, price of the product and the demand of the similar product are both moving in opposite direction. Whenever price goes up, the quantity demanded will fall. This is the very first determinant. Let's move ahead to the next. Price of substitutes of X. If brown bread starts becoming expensive, consumers will start looking for cheaper substitutes. In fact, there will be many other cheaper substitutes of bread entering the market. It means when any existing product starts gaining a higher price in the market, consumers quickly start looking for cheaper substitutes. What is the reason? They don't want to cut down the consumption altogether, but at the same time, they don't want to spend more. So they look for those options which have the capacity to satisfy their want and are still cheaper. So, when the price of substitutes of X, when the price of, let's say, brown bread starts increasing, the demand for a substitute bread, let's say white bread or a cheaper bread, will start having more demand. So what we are trying to explain here is that when the price of one affects the demand of the other, the two products are correlated as substitutes. So what are substitutes? Competing products, alternative products. If X is not available, let me switch over to Y. So this point says that whenever our consumers go to the market, they are always comparing. Our consumers are always comparing between the brands of a particular product, and they always try to look for cheaper brands. Electronics. You go to Ezone, you go to Chroma, there are n number of LCDs lying. And sometimes if you observe carefully, our consumers are thinking and thinking and thinking. What are the consumers thinking? They are looking for comparison of the price of substitutes. So we cannot ignore the fact that today's market is a market of competing brands, and the consumers start making a choice and they look for better quality standardized products but at a lower price. So after the concerned price of the product that you are interested in buying, you are also at the same time keeping an eye on the substitutes available. Very selfish attitude of the consumer, right? They want more also at a lower price also, and we have a range of substitutes, so they keep comparison and salesmen keep looking at them. Ma'am, have you decided what you want to buy? Sir, have you decided what you want to buy? No, we are still thinking. And then they will keep on asking the salesman, which is better? What weight is better? And so on. Let's move to the third determinant. Income. Now that's a very important variable. Income. Already discussed. Desire, ability. If our consumer does not have income, there is no way of standing in the market and commanding a product. If you have money in your pocket, you are a king. You can move around and decide what you want to buy. But if you have no money, then just keep making a wish list and keep praying to God, let all my wishes come true. Let the things come automatically into my house. So income definitely plays a very important role. Most of our material wants are fulfilled because we have products in the market and the consumers have money. Disposable income of the consumer. What's this disposable income? It is the income which a consumer is free to spend. So, income minus the taxes, the contributions result in disposable income. It is the income you are free to spend, non-taxable. Higher the disposable income, higher the demand. So how is income and demand related? Directly. More the income, more the demand. Of course, here the demand will be more for comforts and luxuries. Because our basic needs and basic desires grow up to a limit. Basic needs of food, clothing, shelter, house and education and all. But after that, comforts. Having your own vehicle, having your own plane, having n number of houses, etc., etc. There is no limit to comforts and luxuries. You can see in the market. We move to the next. Utility. Utility of the commodity. Now, what is utility? Want, satisfaction, power. If I am able to use this laser light and focus on the point, it has utility for me. If you are listening to this lecture, and you are understanding the concept, lecture has utility for you. All our consumers who are buyers are looking at this U, utility factor. I buy a television set and I'm very happy because of the sound quality, picture clarity and whatever features, utility. I'm hungry, I order something, I eat, I'm happy, utility. You are late for office, you get an empty auto, you get into the auto and you reach on time. It has utility. Anything can have utility if there is a want and it can satisfy the want. So, higher the utility, higher the demand. In fact, this is very important for producers. And therefore, in economics, we say production means creation of utilities. Because the day there is no utility from the commodity, customers will stop buying. It will be of no use. We go to the next. Quality. Products which are well known for quality. Brands which are popularly known for their qualities. Britannia, Godrej, HUL, Hindustan Lever, ISI mark on products are all for top quality. And what happens when we get quality products? We always go back to those companies. Therefore, it's very important for companies to maintain the standard and the quality of their products. As long as they give quality products to customers, they'll always find the customers coming back to them. So a direct relation. Higher the quality, higher the demand. The next determinant is taste and fashion. Taste and fashion. What are the things which come in your mind whenever you talk of fashion? Well, clothes, accessories, bags, shoes, even today electronic devices, mobiles, they keep changing with fashion. And what about the highlighting of the hair? That also is changing with fashion. What about the food that you are eating? It again changes with taste and fashion. CCD is becoming a very popular in metropolitan cities. Then it's fashion and taste. So, businesses grow with fashion. Businesses change with changing fashion. Food companies, especially hotels, keep changing with taste. So, taste and fashion are a variable factor. And when they keep changing, companies have to reallocate their resources to meet the changing needs of fashion and taste. So there's a direct relation between fashion, taste and demand. Let's go to the next determinant. Population size. Size of population. Wow, I'm living in India. So I'm happy. We are a populated country. China, luckier. It is also a populated country. This point says more the number of buyers, more the population, more will be the demand in the market for necessities. Water, building of houses, providing education, providing banking services, telecom services. Every year India is adding 1 million subscribers or mobile users. So mobile companies have a bright future. Population, very important factor. A direct factor for influencing the demand for most of the necessities. Right? So, is it just the population? No. With population comes the characteristics of population, age composition, the economic distribution of population, geographical distribution of population. What you find that these characteristics of population play a very important role in market segmentation, product designing, product pricing, prestigious goods, high price branded products, perfumes, meeting the needs of people living in cities, people with higher incomes. But what about rural areas? Small sachet products, popularly sold at a lower price, less quantity. So, market segmentation, product pricing, product designing, all depends on the characteristics of population. So, it plays a very important role in understanding consumer behavior and its relation with demand. We move to the next. This determinant is about future price expectation. Are we living only in the present, or are we thinking about future? I'm sure we all think about the future as well. My present plans somewhere are based on future projections. Taking a home loan, availing for a car loan, putting my money into mutual funds, bonds, is all determined by future expectations. But it is future expectation of price. What happens if people know that tomorrow or day after tomorrow, prices of sugar will increase, prices of tea powder will go up, or all those necessity products will become expensive? What will be the immediate reaction? People will start hoarding. People will start buying stock and hoarding it. Yes or no? That's because they don't want to pay a higher price in future. So, let me buy it today at a lower price and get the benefit. So, what's the relation? If people expect that in future, prices will rise. If people expect that in future, prices will rise. Current demand will increase. So, the demand for the products in the current will increase because people expect that in future, prices will increase. So, there is a direct relation between future price and current demand. Let's move on to the next determinant, climatic conditions. When you talk of climatic conditions, you think of ice creams, body lotions, sunscreen lotions, umbrellas, etc. Seasonal products. Demand for certain products and services increases when the season is in the peak. Tourism, travel and tourism industry, transport, railway, flight bookings are all influenced by climatic conditions, seasonal products. Because a particular change of climate and there is a boom in the demand for certain products and services. It's very nice to go during a little beginning of the spring or winter to Kashmir. So, more number of hotel bookings, travel bookings in a particular season, particular climate. This indicates that season and changing climate has a direct impact on the demand of all those products which meet the need of these customers. We'll move on to the next. Psychology of the consumer. Now this is very interesting. When you study the psychology of the consumer, psychology is a subjective concept. I cannot read the mind of other person. So how can a company read the mind of millions of buyers? It's again based on the behavior, which is associated with their mindset. It has been found that if more and more are purchasing product X, others are influenced to buy more of X. If you are going to a college and you find majority of your classmates are buying those t-shirts called Being Human and they are very popular, and if you also go and pick it up, then it's because of the bandwagon effect. Can see your bandwagon effect. So what's the bandwagon effect? Bandwagon effect is when I try to copy others. I imitate others. So my neighbor has an LCD and it's working excellently well. Let me also go for that brand. I get influenced. So many a time, the bandwagon effect plays a very strong and positive role in influencing the demand. Higher the bandwagon effect, more and more demand. That Anna Hazare caps, bandwagon effect. Swine flu, threat, again bandwagon effect. The recent Assamese and Northeast people moving away from Bangalore, you will find that was in news. Bandwagon effect, there's a rumor and all are taking the first train to be away from Bangalore. That's an example of bandwagon effect. It's so strong that masses and masses get affected. Contrary to the bandwagon effect is the snob effect. In snob effect, you will find few people buying a product, or maybe just one or two. Everybody is not buying it and you also happen to buy it because you want to be different. So you will never buy the Being Human t-shirts if you come under snob effect. Hatke, you want to be a little different. So you will prefer to go and buy a product which others have not purchased. And that way you outsmart the others or you try to be a little different. So many a times people are tired of looking at a similar product or a fashion and they just don't want to buy it. A particular color, a particular frame of sunglasses or spectacles and so on. The next variable is advertisement and salesmanship. Ultimately, companies are spending crores and crores on advertisements. For what? Increasing sales. So definitely, advertisements and salesmanship have a very strong and positive relation on demand. A very good advertisement, a very good salesmanship will push up the demand. Better advertising, higher the demand, better the sales. And with that, the promotion of the sales manager and the whole team. So with that, we have covered all these various determinants of demand and we'll put them all together into a form of a mathematical function. As you see in this given slide, we have combined all these various determinants and built up a demand function. We have written demand, quantity of X demanded on the left hand side is equal to F. F is the function and all the alphabets. These are the starting alphabets of your determinants. If you remember, when we discussed price of product X. The symbol used is PX. When we talk about price of substitute of X, we have symboled it as P1. When we talk about income of the consumer, which income? Disposable. YD. So, we read this whole mathematical format as a demand function. What does this demand function reflect? It says that at any given time, the demand for any product, anything, whether it's a basic necessity like food or a packet of biscuits or a particular reservation by rail or flight bookings to taking admission in a college, all is influenced by not just one but many variables. So students, in every function, the left hand side will consist of dependent variable. Dependent variable. What's a dependent variable? Which depends on. That means if prices fall and people buy more, then it becomes a dependent variable. So there is huge demand for a particular fruit juice. Let's say Maza or let's talk about Fruity. There is high demand of Fruity because prices of per bottle of Fruity has dropped down. So we say demand for Fruity is a dependable variable on the price of Fruity. So demand for anything becomes a dependable variable. But all that is written inside the bracket, what are all these? They are your determinants of demand. They are called as independent variables. But the correlation is built up between the two, saying that when all these variables change, or if any one of it changes, it will have an impact on demand. So demand functionally depends on all these variables. And this makes it a very complicated relationship. At one time, one individual consumer is buying a product is due to what? We cannot say with 100% accuracy. We cannot say that this person has picked up the bottle of Fruity because price of Fruity has come down. We say he has picked up the bottle of Fruity because he likes the flavor of Fruity. Because he felt there is more utility by buying this bottle of Fruity. Because he is influenced by advertisement. I mean, practically, when I take this equation to individual consumer, the factor which is the main behind that demand cannot be predicted. So this is what we are trying to understand in a demand function. It is one of the important concept in that you have to remember, because every time, whenever you are looking at news, huge demand, higher demand, panic buying, you need to bring this demand equation in front of your eyes. And then try to find out which is the main factor and the strongest factor which is influencing demand. So that is demand function. We move ahead to the law of demand. The very first law that you are studying in managerial economics. Chapter 3, the very first law, the law of demand. The moment it is law, matlab we have to follow. Law means it is definitely experimented, tested, and then concluded. The law of demand says other things remaining the same. Now, what are the other things that have to be same? This makes a concept of model building. If you remember in chapter 1, I was discussing of model building in construction, in actual business. I am using the same model building method now. This is also called model building. Assumptions, conditions. I am assuming that when all the other factors, determinants of demand, when they don't change, utility, advertisement, climate, price of substitutes, when they all don't change and we only consider price and demand. So from the whole equation, that demand function, we have picked up just one variable. And what's that? First one, price of the commodity. So when I want to only consider the operation of price on the demand of any one product, then that makes me apply the law of demand. If the price of a particular, leather shoes, a particular brand, Metro, the price of Metro brand leather shoes falls, which leads to more people preferring to wear Metro leather shoes, or consumers prefer to stick to Metro brand due to fall in price of the Metro leather shoes, then that breaks me apply the law of demand for Metro shoes. And I say that when the price falls, the quantity demanded rises. And that is the law of demand. This is the law. If the price falls, people will buy more. If the price falls, sales will go up. So, price and demand are inversely related. If with the fall in the price of petrol, diesel, the consumption of petrol and diesel goes up, I say it comes under the law of demand. To simplify it, we have made use of a statistical chart, a graph, where on the x-axis we are going to measure demand and on the y-axis we are going to measure price. When the price is 12 rupees, the quantity demanded is also 12. And as the price starts falling, the quantity demanded starts rising. You can see the highest quantity demanded has crossed 140 units. The highest price is 12. And when we connect these points, the graph that we get is a downward sloping graph. This graph is called as the demand graph. And any demand graph which is convex, downward sloping, is called as a negative sloped graph. So, the law of demand and the graph. So, with a fall in price of onions, if more people are buying onions, then we say that the demand graph for onions will be like this. If with a fall in property rates, there are more investments in property, then the real estate market graph will be like this. The law of demand, that with a fall in price, more quantity is demanded. So you have to keep looking around, students, for the law of demand and the demand graph negatively sloped demand graph wherever you see this relation.